Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming among us, for coming to us, and for drawing us to you. We pray that as we continue to reflect on your story, that we would know that you have made it our story, and that we would share it with others, so that you can be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are fun stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as the VeggieTales have forever made them in my world, Rack, Shack, and Benny. They face some tough stuff, right? A king that tells them all the world must bow down and worship me. And they say, rightfully so, I don't think that's what God wants me to do. And so they don't. This isn't just a story about them, though. It's a story about us, because they are thrown into the fire, but you've been in that fire too, haven't you? You've been in that fire when a friend invites you to ignore your God and just live it up. When your boss has said to cut those corners and put the results of your business and his success above the faithfulness of your own life. You've been in that place when you've made choices about how you live as brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents and children, friends and enemies. For me, this story that is before us today is most profound in that it is also a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responding with faithfulness and service to their enemy. Nebuchadnezzar is the king who destroyed their country, tore down the temple, exported their people, and now was teaching them to be like him and his people. He believed himself to be God's representative on the earth. And it could be seen clearly by his great power, his great wealth, his great abundance of knowledge and powers of all kinds. And so the statue is erected of him. And he proclaims the word. Whenever you hear music, you must bow down and to this statue and worship me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse that order to worship him. No doubt they are not the only ones who refuse the order to worship him, but their refusal is lifted up. Why? Because they have been picked by this king to serve him as advisors. They are part of the king's service. They are working for him. And he looks at them and says, you of all people, you should be towing the line here. I can't tolerate this in my kingdom, but I certainly can't tolerate it within those, within my own advisors. You have to do what I say. Anybody heard that before? Where do they find the strength to resist? I believe they find it. Well, I know they find it in their faith. But I believe they find it in a very unique understanding of faith that I sometimes forget. And I've talked about this in our Bible study and so forth a lot. But I just think it's so important for us to see. They see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the leader, the one who is demanding their allegiance, their worship, their devotion, their work, is not the real power. And so, even though he has some power, they know he's not the one that they should really fear and respect. He, like them, are called to fear and respect the one true God who is the power that is really at work. And they see it at work even in their enemy. God is at work in him. God, and this story that is told tells us of a people who God has positioned in relationships with folks that I don't think they would have chose. When we pick friends, who we're going to be friends with, when we start out with that, we start out with the right mindset. When you ask a 3 or 4 year old, it's fun to kind of watch this develop, because initially there's a lot of kids who just say, if somebody talks to me, they're my friend. Right? If I talk to somebody, then we're friends. I remember, Hannah, I shouldn't do this. I was told not to do this. I'm going to break a boundary that I told, maybe I won't. But I have to now. When Hannah was about 3 or 4, we lived far, far away. And we would sometimes go to the mall. And there would be other kids playing at like one of those play area things. And I remember specifically one time she came over and asked me, could I be friends with them? And I said, well, maybe. You probably have to talk to them first. And she did, and she went over to a girl, and she said hi. And the girl said hi, and then she came back and said, she's my friend. You know what? That's actually a perspective of faith that we lose, don't we? Do we still have that? I don't. Somewhere along the line, people stop being people and start being stuff, that ways to get things done. It's a difficult thing. God invites us to see that every person, whether they are our closest friend or our sworn enemy, is someone whom God has made and is at work in to bring about God's story for the world. And so it might not change how I feel about ruthless, power-hungry, egomaniac kings like Nebuchadnezzar. Might not change how I see their actions, but it needs to change how I see them. And it needs to help me to understand what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. That if God has put you in relationship with someone, you now have an opportunity to show them who God is. We get nervous about that, don't we? You know, when I say, you now have the opportunity to show people who God is. you say, oh, now he's going to ask me to go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. Yeah, I am. Go do that. And if you need to, in the words of Augustine, if you need to, use words. Because if they don't get it, eventually they'll ask you, why do you live this way? You see, that's part of it. We live differently. I don't think the world teaches us that this is the way to view other people. I think it says you've got to recognize who your friends are, who your enemies are, and convince your enemies to be like you. Convince your enemies to, or be more powerful than them so that they have to listen to you. Right? Is that the story that's before us today? No, they never do that. What they do is they focus on themselves. He's fine. I like it when you answer. Everybody answer. You know, this is who we are. Focus on what God has done in you, because that's all I really know. I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, you know what, this is why God has placed me here. This is, I know that this is how, why God chose Nebuchadnezzar, and that God made Nebuchadnezzar make this law, and that that's going to lead to this. I don't think God's working that way. And I know, and I'm pretty sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know it either. But what they did know is this. They did know that God was up to something in every person they met, whether they believed in God or not. And that the God that they believed in is the one who had convinced them of that truth. And that if that was the truth, and they believed it was, that that meant that every person they encountered, they should watch how they live so that they could be a witness of the God that they serve. This is who I truly serve. And in serving the one true God, God has put me in relationship with you. God has brought us together. And so I'm not going to do anything to sacrifice my worship of the one true God. God, but I'm going to do everything I can without crossing that line to help you. And they do that. What a great image of the church for us today. What a great image for us as we come into those fires. We come into them not because we want to, but because they happen. We are brought into them. And we are brought into them the same way we are outside of them, with God. If God is with me outside, God is with me in it. The focus for them wasn't on, oh gosh, I hope they throw me in the fire, because then when I overcome it, it'll be awesome. And everybody will look at me and say, wow, how did you do that? No one said that, did they? They didn't say that. Nobody said that. What happened was they were brought into a situation that everybody thought was hopeless, and they saw that they weren't alone in it. He said, you guys, you can live in this. When Jesus comes, in the words of the gospel today, he says, don't worry about those that are that can hurt the body, that can kill the body. Worry about those that, after that, could throw you into hell. Well, you know what? Sometimes we have misunderstood that, haven't we? Sometimes when you read that, the first thing you think of is, oh, we're talking about the devil. No. Mm-mm. Jesus is talking about God. Because there's only one power in the world. One. Above all others. And our lives are held in Him, regardless of the results. And that relationship is what feeds us. Folks, that's why we come to worship. to remind ourselves of that. That's why our worship begins with confession and forgiveness, because it reminds us of this. Waters with the Word of God, where we are forgiven, and where God says, "You are beloved. You are my child. I will be with you always." It's why when we come to the altar, we gather not just with those that we look around in this room and say, "Ha ha, I like this group of people, so it's nice to have us all gathered around the Lord's table here." No, the Lord's table is not contained in these rails. The Lord's table gathers people who are very different from us throughout the world and time and history, and we are all gathered around what God is doing. The action is not ours, it is God's. God gives Himself to you. And when we come to the table, it is that we believe. That I am one whom God has given Himself to. And that because I am sent out as one that God has given Himself to, now I can help others to see what? That I am one that God has given Himself to? Sure, but more importantly, that God has given Himself to them. That God is at work in them too. That there is no one outside of God's reach. Not even an egomaniac king who erects statues to himself. Because our God reigns above it all. And our God is with you, even in the fire. Praise be to God, the one who makes all the world His own. In Jesus' name, amen.